Filthy Henry case files. The Scarred Bones. Part 4. Filthy Henry took a deep breath and watched the giant skeleton as it peered to the left, using the railing to keep its balance. Whatever the creature had been in life, the fairy detective was confident now they could rule out it being a Sasquatch. The magical nature of the world, insofar as Filthy Henry understood it, meant that you could not simply transpose a being from one magical region and have it use the energies of another region. A skeleton being reanimated, in Ireland, using Celtic magical forces, meant that the creature had to have originated in Ireland at some point. Even if Sasquatches were real, they were not part of the fairy world that Filthy Henry operated in, which meant that the moon magnification magic would have had no impact on their decomposed body. That little bit of information was, in a way, a good thing to know now. They had confirmed two things. Firstly, that Vincent Farrell was full of crap and a gullible fool. Secondly, that they were, in fact, dealing with a fairy. The trick now would be to figure out what sort of fairy they had on their hands, and more importantly, how to deal with it. Filthy Henry could only imagine that waking up after being dead was akin to not getting your first cup of coffee before dealing with an eager assistant who liked to play detective. He hoped that they could resolve the case using the ancient and useless art of conversation. "Howdy," Filthy Henry said, walking down towards the giant skeleton and waving at it. "You glad to be home?" With a bone-chilling cacophony of creaks and cracking vertebrae, the giant slowly turned around to face Filthy Henry. Its glowing green eye sockets locked onto him immediately, tracking the fairy detective as he walked down the aisle of displays. One green orb dimmed slightly, almost as if the eye was being half-closed, and the giant opened its mouth, letting out an impressive roar both in volume and owing to the fact that skeletons greatly lacked the muscles to make sound at all. It was a roar that told a story, one of annoyance and confusion. A primal scream that could only be interpreted as anger. Anger for the screamer's current situation. As the sound washed over Filthy Henry, the fairy detective stopped walking, closed his eyes, and nodded in a sympathetic manner.
"I hear you," he said, eyes still closed. "Mondays, am I right?"
The giant's roar ceased, and Filthy Henry opened his eyes, glad that no violence had occurred, which may have made the opening of said eyes a trickier thing to achieve. He looked up at the animated skeleton and frowned.
"How about we just talk?" Filthy Henry suggested. "I'm sure I can help you out. You may not know who I am, given you've been dead for a few centuries, but I sort of am a specialist when it comes to things of this nature."
It happened so fast that the fairy detective was not entirely sure how to react. Without even acknowledging the request for a party, the giant took two quick steps toward Filthy Henry, bringing its plastic tree club up into the air. There was a rush of air as the weapon was swung glacially fast, and then froze. The lights in the giant's skull winked out, and a fine green mist fell to the ground.
"Did you kill it?" Shelley shouted down, still in her hiding spot.
Filthy Henry watched, as the mist spiralled on the ground for a moment, before drifting up and passing into a display case of foxes. One of the beady-eyed furballs started moving, its glass eyeballs glowing with the green light of the possessed. The fairy detective ignored the fox and turned his attention back to the glowing saucer of water. Once again, thinking that sometimes it would be better to test a theory in a safe environment rather than out in the field.
"Nope, I didn't kill it,"
Filthy Henry replied, walking over to the display case and staring at it as the fox tried to bite through the glass.
"The skeleton stepped out from the amplified moonlight. It lost its magic. Probably a good thing we didn't wait for a full moon to talk with it. That would have given it enough power to really wreck the place."
Shelley came down the aisle and stood beside the fairy detective, staring at the stuffed fox.
"So what do we do now?"
Filthy Henry pointed at the still giant skeleton.
"We need to push that back into the light of the spell. I'm not spending all night talking with these poor man's animatronics."
Leaving the stuffed fox to its escape attempts, Filthy Henry and Shelley walked down to the giant skeleton and studied it in the cold light of the moon. while inside the display case, it had been hard to see the bolts and screws that kept the bones from falling to the ground. Technological replacements for long decomposed organic parts. It looked like the skeleton could easily be moved without the risk of something falling off. Filthy Henry stepped forward and placed his right hand on the hip of the skeleton, his left pushing firmly against the lower ribcage. Shelley did the same on the other side, her face showing a measure of disgust at touching it. "Push," the fair detective said. The nerve-wrenching sound of nails on a chalkboard echoed through the stillness of the museum as the giant's toes were dragged along the wooden floorboards. As soon as the skeleton was back inside the artificial moonlight, Filthy Henry tapped Shelley on the shoulder and pointed for her to step back. From behind, there was a soft thud, no doubt the fox hitting against the glass, and the green mist rushed between Filthy Henry and Shelley. It flew upwards, into the eye sockets, and illuminated both once more with the green glow. Cracking its knuckles, the skeleton examined the fingers on its left hand, as if seeing the bones for the first time. Slowly the giant looked from its hand at Filthy Henry and Shelley, then back again. "That's right," Filthy Henry said, stuffing his hands in his pockets and smiling up at the skull. "You can't step out of that light without losing control over that bag of bones you call a body. So what say you?" There's a moment in every case, Filthy Henry had noticed, when you could almost smell a change on the air. Something that seemed straightforward suddenly became overly complicated, and for whatever reason, even harder to resolve through non-violent means. It was almost like being able to smell snow, or when an old-timer had a pain in their knee right before the rain started. Something inside Filthy Henry went and got a funny feeling, and that was it. Violence ahoy. As the giant simply stared at them both, the fairy detective had that sensation of change burbling up in his stomach. He reached over, cupped Shelley's elbow, and started to drag her back from the animated nightmare before them. The giant hefted its faux branch club and extended it slowly forwards, stopping right at the point when its fingers would have left the artificial moonlight. Filthy Henry was not sure how, but the skull bore a ghastly grin, as the giant had figured out the limitations of its undead life. With one swift movement, the giant swung its club and smashed several display cases into smithereens. Shards of glass sprayed on the ground, along with chunks of wood and pieces of stuffed animals. It was like watching a Hollywood action movie set come to life, explosions destroying things of beauty for sheer entertainment value. Filthy Henry fell backwards to the ground, dragging Shelley down with him so that they could avoid being hit by debris. They landed with a thud, then flipped over and started to crawl quickly back down towards their hiding spots. Behind them, the giant destroyed more displays, showering them both in glass and animal parts. A badger head flew past the fairy detective's head, rolling along the ground like a disgusting bowling ball. He reached out, picked up the badger head, then rolled over onto his back. "Looks like somebody resurrected today and chose violence," Filthy Henry said, calling upon his magic and gripping the badger head tightly. "Brokkr Lassa!" The badger head burst into flames, the skin sloping off in disgusting stringy clumps. Without bothering to aim at a specific area, given the giant was a fairly large target, the fairy detective threw the burning badger body part at the skeleton, leaving a trail of black smoke in the air. It flew towards the target and landed in the left eye socket of the giant's skull.
"How is that helping?"
Shelley asked, scrambling to her feet and watching the giant as it tried to scoop the fiery head out of its skull.
"It isn't," the fairy detective replied. "But it looked better than a grey wizard throwing flaming pine cones at wolves. Now come on, let's hide while it's distracted."
They made their way to the second level of the museum, which was not a floor as such, but rather two long platforms that looked down on an open-plan ground floor. There were a number of display cases and tables here, enough to hide behind while a new plan was formed. Finding a spot in the corner, they hunkered down behind a cabinet full of dead butterflies. A small gap gave them a perfect view of the giant as it swung blindly with its club, smashing cases and animals with glee, all the while confined to the area of the floor with the powerful moonlight. Watching the giant skeleton, Shelley had a thought, one that she was surprised had taken so long to come to.
"What if it doesn't speak English?" she asked Filthy Henry in a whisper.
The fairy detective, keeping his eyes fixed firmly on the giant, frowned.
"Huh? English, Shelley said. Vincent said they had carbon dated the bones to verify it was old, and it was really old. What if it doesn't speak English? Filthy Henry sat back, resting against the wall, and mulled over what Shelley had just said. He slowly started nodding.
You might be onto something there.
For humans to have found a fairy skeleton at all means the giant was away from here for a long time.
Why is that important? Shelley asked.
Well, fairies are powered by the magic of Ireland. It's in the very soil of the country. They can leave the island, of course, but we need to periodically come back to recharge. Exile is basically a death sentence for fairy folk.
Well, can you leave?
Filthy Henry nodded.
Anytime I want. It's the only benefit of being a half-breed. I'd have less magic at my disposal if I'd stayed away for too long, and I'm not sure if I'd suddenly grow old quickly or not. But I'm not planning any round-the-world multi-year trips in the near future. However, if you were a giant skeleton that wound up in America...
He trailed off in a way that Shelley found so annoying, because it meant suddenly all the jigsaw pieces had mentally aligned in his head. Holding out his right hand, Filthy Henry closed his eyes.
Sphere Astrocoin, he said, conjuring a small ball of white light, roughly the size of a tennis ball in his hand.
The sphere floated above his palm, pulsing with little rings of light flashing around it.
A translation ball? Shelley asked, falling back on her shockingly bad Irish from her educational years.
You think I'm right?
Filthy Henry shrugged his shoulders.
It's worth a shot. This thing will instantly translate any language into something everyone hears and understands. Best of all, we can stay hidden here and it'll act as a relay for our voices.
The fairy detective threw the ball of light over the railings, down to the ground floor. Shelley caught sight of it as it drifted down on the air, floating just out of range of the giant and its club.
Well now, hello there, Filthy Henry said, his voice echoing from below. Why don't we try all this again? I'm Filthy Henry. How can I help you?
They slowly made their way back down the stairs, looking at all the destruction around them. Shelley gasped as they stepped on the broken glass and destroyed animals.
Vincent's gonna be mad, she said.
Filthy Henry ignored her. Now that the giant had stopped being in a violent rage, it meant they had a chance to talk with it. It stared at the translation sphere that hovered in the air, then looked at the approaching detectives.
Why didn't you speak our language before? The giant asked.
Rather, the sphere translated on the giant's behalf. To Filthy Henry's ear, the giant spoke an old pre-Celtic form of Irish. The spheres took the sound in, and then, using the same timbre and tone of voice, repeated the words in English.
We had a little situation after you left Ireland's shores, the fairy detective said, stopping just out of reach of the club to be on the safe side. Our languages were replaced a little, but still spoken. Just, it wouldn't be the language you default to on a daily basis.
The giant sat down, bones clattering together as it assumed a lotus position. It placed the fake tree branch across its lap, the green lights dimming ever so slightly, as if staring sadly at Filthy Henry.
So now we speak the foreigner's tongue, it asked. Mortals, you never could just get along.
What happened to you? Shelley asked the giant. What's your name?
Angus. My name is Angus, the giant said, pointing at Shelley with a bony finger. I used to fight little ones like you. My kind saw you as an annoyance, appearing out of the dirt and the ground to try and take our land from us. It was bad enough when the fairy folk started to move into our home. But then mortals showed up, and they were even worse. At least the fairies had a modicum of respect for us. Mortals saw us as nothing more than trophies, things to be hunted and battled for sport. Thankfully, when the fairy folk created the Vale Moor, we could step behind it. But still, my people enjoyed causing some destruction on mortal homes, from time to time as a reminder.
Well, those days are long gone, Filthy Henry said. So Angus, how did you end up in the 33rd country?
Even though it was impossible for Bones to frown, Angus still managed to give the impression of frowning.
That is a tale of stupidity. I was out battling some fellow Firmore giants off the west coast,
We were throwing around boulders, as you do, and creating a few islands in the process. One thing led to another, and I caught two boulders straight to the chest. The force sent me sailing out to sea.
You drowned? Shelley asked, sounding almost like the story was unbelievable. Angus nodded his skull.
Essentially, yes. We Fearmore don't really have a lot of magical abilities, beyond our height and strength. So, as I drifted to the bottom of the sea, all I could do was start walking. But I walked in the wrong direction. Not a lot of signposts under the waves. It wasn't long before I grew weak. I died, and my body must have been carried across the ocean.
Filthy Henry shuddered at the giant's tale. Death was something he thought about from time to time, mostly when working a case that had a risk of life being cut short. Over the decades, the fairy detective had thought about enough ways to die that he sadly had a list of ones he definitely would want to avoid. Drowning was top of the list, but Angus's story was even worse. Drowning, so close to home, and then your body being washed up on unknown shores.
I'm guessing you'd no idea what happened to your body when it was found by mortals in America, the fairy detective asked.
Another slow skull shake.
No, Angus said. Had I washed up in Ireland, my soul would have been at rest. But not being on the soil of my ancestors, I was simply bound to my bones, unaware. It wasn't until moonlight touched my corpse, back here in Ireland, that I regained a semblance of myself.
Shelley stepped closer to Filthy Henry and leaned in. We don't have a bad guy, she whispered into his ear. We have a lost soul. Filthy Henry nodded. It was one of those rare cases that nobody needed to die. And at the end, they might be able to actually help somebody. A giant somebody. But it would require a hefty dose of magic. Filthy Henry looked around at the destroyed museum and sighed.
Right, Angus. I'm going to help you out. But Shelley, can you get on to your sponsor about fixing this place up?
Angus moved, like a xylophone of bones rattling along.
Help me how? He asked.
Filthy Henry smiled up at the green lights in the giant's skull.
I'm going to send you to the cave of your ancestors, the fairy detective said.
Shelley closed her eyes and imagined a phone in her mind. She picked it up, mentally, and reached out to her magical sponsor. After a short imaginary ring, her call was answered.
I thought I stripped you of your powers, said a voice.
It was the voice of Bunty Dooley, Dublin's most powerful sea, and proprietor of Dublin's only fairy-neutral pub, Bunty Dooley's Bar.
I must have forgot to disconnect the mental phone.
Oh, you didn't, Shelley said. And you know you didn't on purpose. You'd never leave me alone with Filthy.
In her head, Shelley heard a chuckle from a voice not her own.
That's true, Bunty said. I'm going to guess you want something.
Sadly, yes. As much as I hate to call looking for a favour, we're in the Natural History Museum and there's an undead giant who destroyed the place. Filthy's going to help the giant get home, but we sort of need to clean up the displays.
There was silence on the mental call for a few seconds.
How about instead of a favour you can just pay me? I can send over a spell that'll repair everything for you.
Oh really? That would be fantastic, Shelley said.
How much?
Bunty Dooley told Shelley the price of the spell. It was not only fair, but entirely acceptable and utterly in her wheelhouse.
Done, Shelley said. Excellent. Now don't make a habit of using this connection. I'm going to disable your ability to call me.
Without waiting for her to respond, Shelley was forced out of the mental call. She opened her eyes and walked down to Filthy Henry.
It's a done deal, she said.
Excellent, the fairy detective replied, moving his hands in wide circles in front of Angus. I'll see our friend off here, then we can get the place straightened up.
From the tips of Filthy Henry's fingers, yellow lines of magical energies began to stream, tracing two circles in the air around his hand movements. Shelley watched as the circles interlocked, before merging together to form one big circle. Like a magical bubble, it grew in size, until it was easily 20 feet high,
Angus slowly rose to his feet and stood staring at the circle of light.
Amazing, the giant said. I didn't think mortals could work magic like this.
He's a half-breed, Shelley explained. Only one of his kind.
I see. Still impressive, Angus said.
Urs Uskelta, Filthy Henry said, pushing forward with both hands in the air.
Within the circle of light, the magical energy shimmered ever so slightly, like water turned upright. Shelley noticed that the circle was well within the artificial moonlight, therefore allowing Angus to step easily through.
Why didn't you just teleport him? Shelley asked, being familiar with Filthy Henry's teleportation abilities.
The fairy detective walked around the circle and stood on the left-hand side.
That's too far a distance to send via teleportation. And this is being partially powered by Angus's spirit essence. Otherwise, it would have collapsed on me already. Plus, when you have to move just bones, it's easier to do a fancy spell like this. Enjoy the show. I'm not sure I'll be casting anything like this again. Now, big boy, I've only got enough power to keep this going for a few seconds.
Shelley stepped over to join Filthy Henry and marvelled at the doorway he had conjured. Sometimes she wondered if the fairy detective truly knew the limits of his abilities, since every case seemingly unlocked new levels of power. Angus looked down at them both and gritted his teeth together in what one could easily have guessed was a grin.
Thank you, mortals, he said. Maybe you aren't so bad after all. I sort of regret squashing the ones I did, back when I was truly alive.
He ambled forward, stepping through the circle of light. As his bones passed the threshold, the shimmer became a ripple that revealed what lay on the other side of the doorway. A cave of some sort, deep underground, but illuminated by magical light. Shelley guessed that a mortal without fairy vision would have seen nothing but darkness in the cave. Then, as she watched Angus step through, something wonderful happened. The giant's bones began to grow muscles, tendons, and skin. Cellular regeneration on a level only seen in comic books happened right before their eyes. Once fully through the doorway, a very naked and totally healed Angus turned and looked back at them.
Well now, the giant said, patting his fat stomach and smiling in a less rictus manner. I didn't expect that to happen. I'm going to rest now. Thank you.
You're welcome,
Filthy Henry said, right as the doorway collapsed and left the two detectives in the destroyed museum. From the double doors down the front came a loud banging of hands not used to hard labour pounding. Shelley ran down, pulled the bolts back and unlocked the door. It was opened quickly and Vincent Farrell ran inside. He looked around, flustered.
I saw fire, he said, or a light or flames. There was something. Where's it gone?
The head curator stopped rambling and took in the scene of his museum. He slowly panned from the left to the right, then back again, before fixing his gaze on Filthy Henry.
Are you out of your bloody mind? Vincent roared. I hired you to figure out my ghost problem, not to destroy my life's work.
Shelley and Filthy Henry looked at each other. Neither of them went to speak. From the corner of her eye, Shelley caught sight of a green orb of magic racing through the doors. It flew over Vincent's head, spiralled around the ground floor several times in a matter of seconds, then came to rest beside the translation sphere. The two spells merged together like magical goo, before sending out five pulses of energy and disappearing from sight. Around the museum, the destroyed animal statues and displays started bouncing around as if possessed, like a recently removed giant skeleton had been. The detritus moved through the air and began to reform, like watching an explosion happen in reverse. 15 seconds later, everything was back as it had been before Angus's little rampage. Vincent stared slack-jawed at his pristine display cases, cleaner than the day they had been installed, and pointed at Filthy Henry.
Get out of here, you! You con man! The head curator snapped.
Shelley'll send you the invoice, the fairy detective said, as he strolled down towards the front door.
Oh, the ghost is gone, Shelley said to Vincent. But your giant was entirely fake, so we got rid of that for you. Sorry, leave a review on the website when you get a chance. Vincent looked at her, his left eye twitching rapidly.
Get out.
Shelley waved goodbye, then joined Filthy Henry outside as they walked down the path back to the street.
So, what did Bunty want in return for the clean-up? The fairy detective asked.
Oh, it was very reasonable, Shelley said. You're barred from the bar for 2 weeks.
Filthy Henry stopped walking and stared after Shelley as she walked on.
You told her no, right?
He asked the back of her head.
Shelley, you told her no, right?
Filthy Henry, The Scarred Bones is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle. If you enjoyed this story, why not subscribe to our podcast? Filthy Henry's adventures will continue very soon. We'd like to assure you that no dead animals were hurt in the making of this episode. And just in case you didn't know, the Natural History Museum in Dublin is totally free to visit. We highly recommend it. Just watch out for the badgers.